Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, we are going to get to phones. We're going to stay with phones. We're going to go with phones this segment. We're going to stay with phones the rest of the hour. So queue your call up, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me talk for a second about commodities. And by the way, all the indices in positive territory, the Dow's up almost 0.75%. So that is a very good move. It's up 211 points. It's up 0.83. We'll see what happens with it. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, speaking of commodities, is up, and it's up 1.3%. It's up 83 cents, 62.85. So crude oil continues to go up. Brent crude oil, 72.76 right now. Brent crude, a little bit more of a different situation with Brent. I know it's a global market, and it really is, so maybe it shouldn't be separated so much, but the fact of the matter is Brent crude oil, very, very different situation. Speaking of oil, and that gas is up, too, by a dollar, and I'm hoping. Did you see the speech of President Obama from Louisiana, the new liquefied natural gas plant? I said President Obama. Lord help me, please. Anyway, President Trump talking about at the grand opening, by the way, employing, I think, 6,000 people. This is the largest nat gas to liquefied natural gas. This is going to be shipping natural gas, liquefied natural gas around the world. It's an amazing plant. His speech was just so encouraging and amazing. As a matter of fact, there is a Florida station, I heard, that is looping. I don't know if they still are, but they did all day, yesterday afternoon and last night, just looping and playing the speech. People need to hear it. And just get a sense of tone of how much this president cares about America. It really puts things into perspective. If you haven't heard it, you need to go to, you can go to YouTube and just, you know, find it and listen to it. It's about 45 minutes to 50 minutes long, and it is well worth listening to. Very, very encouraging. With that, nat gas price is up over 1%, and boy, we sure need this. It's going to be a boost in the arm. I've been talking about this for 3 years. I've been saying nat gas is going through this reinventing itself to be an export commodity, and we are getting very close. I think this is the fourth liquefied natural gas plant in the country. I think this is number four. There's one in Texas, and I think the other three are in Louisiana, I believe. But I believe this is number four. If it's not number four, it's number five. But we're making great strides. We could use one on the East Coast, obviously. And I know where there's one available. If you're an oil company, look up, go on, it's for sale. So Delta bought a refinery in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. Great shipping point. Bought a refinery that had been sitting idle originally. I don't know where it was before Delta bought it, but before, sometime before that, it was a Sun Oil plant at one point, refinery at one point in time. And right now, it's up for sale. I don't believe anybody has bought it. If you are a company that is thinking about an East Coast nat gas, liquefied natural gas plant, when you've got all this nat gas coming out of Pennsylvania, West Virginia, to be an ideal spot. I'm just saying, you don't have to send me a commission. You don't even have to make a donation to the ministry. But I'm just saying, you ought to look at it. Anyway. Nat gas is reinventing itself. And I've been talking about the same thing with coal for years. Coal is going to be fine, but it's going to be a couple more years before it becomes a almost 100% export company. So NatGas working on that. We've got more NatGas than we can think of, and this liquefied natural gas plants are going to be huge, and I'm really excited about that. So good news. Anyway, the average price of gasoline has been going down all week. It is down again today. It is at $281.61. So that is lower than where it was a week ago. A week ago, it was $287.7. So we're almost 2 cents below where it was just a week ago. So hopefully we'll get somewhere close. We'll keep working on getting closer to where it was, say, a month ago when it was 283. But nonetheless, it is not going up, even in the midst of seeing oil going up. So good news. We got plenty of capacity, and we've got plenty of rigs. We're working hard, and we won't have any trouble with inventories and demand, I don't think. Anyway, gold, all the metals are in negative territory with the exception of copper. Copper is up about 0.75%. That doesn't make sense. We got some poor numbers coming out of China today. China's output down 5.6%. That may sound good, but that's really bad for China, well below their expectations of 6.2. So, you know, there's still concerns in China. Their economy has been spiraling downward on a regular basis. This is not good. So it's a surprise to see copper being up. And as I've said many times, China buys 52% of the world's copper goes to China. So interesting to see that number up. All the other industrial metals and the precious metals all down. Gold is at 1291. We had a momentary shot above with a 13 handle. That's gone. Silver, 1472. That hasn't budged much. But anyway, corn up 2%. Wheat up 2.75%. Cocoa up 1.5%. Cotton's up over 0.75%. Cattle is down about 0.5%. Soybean up 0.75%. These are July deliveries I'm talking about, by the way. Coffee is up. Cocoa is up. Sugar down. So let's see. Cotton, I already said. Well, July delivery cotton down is up 0.68%. You know, we got great housing numbers. We got great housing starts. Housing starts up 5.7%. They were expecting 5.4. Good builder sentiment out this week. That was up to a 7-month high. So what do you think? Lumber is up. Lumber's up 0.5%. Livestock, cattle down. Feeder cattle down 1.1%. Lean hog down 1.1% as well. So that's where we are. That's as good as I can get on the commodity front. 844-707-5533. We're going to go to phones. If you queue your call up right now, you're going to be the next call I take. Our lines are all open. We haven't had that in a while. So there you have it. I want to mention to all of you, too, I hope Christians United for Israel, Christians United for Israel, one of the largest group, not one of, the largest group in America, outpacing AIPAC. This is a huge pro-Israel lobbyist group made up of evangelical Christians. So very exciting. They're having a powerful impact on legislation, having a powerful impact on fighting anti-Semitism, having a powerful effect on supporting Israel. If you are a Christian, want to support Israel, man, you need to check it out. And now you can check it out on our website. It's right there for the time being on our website. Now, we want you to sign up for the summer convention in D.C. for 2 days. If you do,
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Okay, we're going to go right to phones. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ray. Ray's calling us from Texas. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, I am 68, planning on retiring at 70. I have about a $70,000 IRA. I'm a new member and looking at your allocation model. And I feel like I'd be willing to be more aggressive than maybe your kind of standard allocation model. How would you suggest I tweak that, maybe for a little better return?
So if, do you see this as long-term money, not something you're going to be drawing on in
eight to 10 years,
maybe?
Yeah, between, you know, with pensions and things like that, I'm pretty well set.
Okay. Yeah, I would just go down. I would drop down to, you know, 55 to 65 model, or you know, you can go lower than that. Listen, I know we have a partner. He's 82 years old, and he's in the, you know, 45-year-old asset allocation model, but he knows he's never going to need the money, and he wanted the same thing you did. He wanted to be a little more aggressive. So I would take a look at, you know, so obviously the lower you go there in age, you know, you're going to get a little bit more aggressive. The more aggressive you get, the greater opportunity you're going to have for gains. You also have a greater risk of on the downside as well. But if you're in it for the long term, if this is money you don't have to think about, then I think it's fine.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day now.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ray. Let me go to Jim. Jim's calling us from, Alan. Let me go to Alan from South Carolina. Hey, Alan.
Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to your program for quite a while. I am 68, or almost 68. I run a small business. As far as retirement, I don't plan on retiring.
Okay.
According to my Bible, there's nothing that says retire.
I'm with you.
I've got a $30,000 in a, I guess it's an annuity.
Uh-huh.
That I was talked into putting it in, and you have to decide what you're going to do with it each year.
Okay.
I'd rather put it somewhere that somebody can tell me what to do.
Okay.
So where would you suggest that I move that to?
Well, I would say if you want somebody to help you with it, I only have one person that I'd really recommend that I know is going to be biblically responsible and track along with us if you don't want to do it yourself. And I can put you on hold, and Darlene can give you that person. I don't talk about it over the air. I'm just trying to help people out that don't want to mess with it. So I can give you that. But I would suggest, and this person that I'm talking about probably suggests a similar thing. But, you know, I would suggest that you get it somewhere where it has some opportunity for growth. Now, I don't know if this money is, you know, I wouldn't want it to be part of your working capital or what you might need for your small business. In other words, if you have a piece of equipment that goes or something, whatever the situation might be, is this money that you're going to need? If it is, and it doesn't sound like it is because it's been locked up in an annuity for a while, then if it isn't, then I'd be okay with you investing it. Of course, if it's part of working capital or emergency savings, then I probably wouldn't want you to do anything too much with it.
No. It won't be part of business. I just want to put it somewhere that it's going to grow. What I have, when I asked them about where to put it, well, that's your decision. And, I just need somewhere that we're going to grow. Well, you're not going to lose anything. It's not the fact that I don't want to lose anything. It's the fact that I'd like to make something.
Right, right. Yeah. I would like to see you. There's a couple things you could do. So there is off if you were doing it, if you wanted to do it yourself and not have to worry about it or think about it, not get too complicated or anything, you could open an account anywhere. You could do it online at an E-Trade or a Fidelity.com or Charles Schwab or any place like that. And there are two ETFs that that Timothy has that are biblically responsible, and I would split it between the two of them. One is a little bit more conservative. It's much more of an income generating, you know, these are stocks in that ETF that are producing dividends. The other one is more of a growth ETF. And I think it would be good to just split it between those two and forget about it every once in a while. If you can add a little bit more to it, do it. That's always helping. So if you can add, if you added, let's say, you know, even $25 a month and split it up to the two of them, or any amount of money, once a year you put another couple hundred hours in or whatever, that's always going to help those kinds of funds. But that would be an easy thing to do. You wouldn't have to worry about it. You wouldn't have to manage it. And you could do it yourself.
Okay. My problem is I'm not a financial person.
Right. I understand.
I was brought up to work and make a living and worry about it tomorrow.
Yep. So that's
tomorrow's here.
Yeah, tomorrow's here, right. So, you know, I mean, if you live near a, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you could find an office from either a Schwab office or a TD Ameritrade. Both of them have walk-in places and storefronts, and I'm sure that there's one not too far from you. To even make it simpler, you could walk in there and say, hey, Timothy only has two ETFs, so it's not like you got to make any big decisions. They only have two. I would just say, and use the word ETF. They'll know what it is.
Okay.
And you would just go in there and say, you know, if they ask why, I say, well, I want to be biblically responsible. That's one reason, and, you know, these are where I want to go. And they would just split any money you have. They'll open the account and do it for you. And it's not going to cost you anything to do that. It's going to be inexpensive. You don't have to manage it, and you can just forget about it and just get your statements and take a look at them every once in a while.
Okay. Sounds like that's the way I need to go.
Yep. Yeah, I would check that out.
Okay.
All right.
Dan, I appreciate your ministry, brother, and we'll pray for you every day.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. We need it. So thank you for that.
Right.
Wish
have
you all the
day.
Best. God bless.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. All right, let's go to Jim. Jim's calling us from Missouri. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Dan. We thank you for all you do for us.
You're welcome.
Keeping everything on the front line and all the things that are going on in the world, especially.
Mm. You're welcome. Thank you.
Could you, I've heard you mention a few times that the China trade deal is already built into the market, and I just really don't understand. Does that mean we should not expect anything grand to happen in the market when it comes through, or just the opposite?
Well,
it doesn't come through. I know we saw a little decrease last week or this week, but
yeah.
Any comments you could make on that would be appreciated.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I think the markets had factored in that by the end of this month, probably the end of June at the latest, that their China deal would be over with. When it looked like this week that wasn't going to happen, you saw what happened in the markets. They dropped dramatically. But now they're starting to recover a little bit with the realization that it's really not that critical for the overall growth of the economy here in America. So, but having said that, when the China trade deal gets done and any other trade deals that are out there that are left to be done, I think it's going to be a shot in the arm for the markets. And I think even from this point on, we will see a little bit more stability and markets going back up again or starting to rise again just over. So the markets hate uncertainty. Even if the certainty of what's uncertain isn't really directly impacting the markets immediately, just to get some uncertainty off the table is always a good thing. And that's what will happen when we get a China trade deal. The markets say, okay, this is good. I'm not sure how this is going to impact all of our stocks, but at the same time, this is one less thing that we've got to worry about it being a dramatic negative, or we have to worry about it escalating into something far worse than just a trade deal or anything like that. So anytime uncertainty is taken off the table, it's always a good thing. And I think it'll be good for the markets. But I'll tell you, if we don't get a trade deal and everything stays exactly like it is right now, I don't think it's going to have a dramatic impact on the downside. I think we've seen some of the effects on the downside of what that means. And I don't think it's going to change much from this point on, because what generally happens, which I thought would happen on Monday, what generally happens is everybody takes a step back and say, you know what? The underlying fundamentals of the economy are still strong. I mean, look at the numbers that are coming in. Housing starts are up, builder confidence is up, jobless claims are down. The manufacturing, the business sentiment this week from New York, from Fed, from small businesses in general, all up. So, you know, what it does when an event like this happens, it forces, yes, there's a knee-jerk reaction. That's what we saw Monday. But then it forces everybody to kind of sit back and say, wait a minute. Things really aren't that bad. It's not that big of a deal. So certainly it could escalate. Things could get somewhat worse. I'm not concerned about that. I think the markets are probably right around where they're going to stay, no matter whether we get a trade deal or we don't, unless the trade deal that we don't get escalates into some other things. And frankly, as far as China is concerned, I don't know how that's possible, because they don't have any ammunition to escalate it higher. So hopefully that helps you a little bit, Jim. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And thank you for your support. Welcome back, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me go to Nelson. Nelson's calling us from Louisiana. Hey, Nelson.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I am a partner for the last 2 years, building the income portfolio, and been really successful at it thanks to your system. And now I'm in the process of trying to balance out my allocations on it. And of course, you know, started out real easy with preferreds and utilities and getting, you know, around 5 to 5.5% return. So now as I balance out through industrials and materials, I'm, you know, getting a little bit less yield. But here's the question is, I've got like 22 positions, 17 of them are blue, a few are yellow, but I got a couple small caps that aren't listed anywhere as income. Is it super critical to have them all blue or yellow, or just build it out as best I can, you know, based on the allocation model?
Well, I think it's important to make sure that they're all producing income. So you don't want to start leaving the model of everything in it being income producing to adding too much. So there are some yellow that are yellow and blue, so they're foundational stocks, but they're still income stocks. So if you're really trying to stay true to income, you should be staying true to the blue stocks or the yellow stocks that are blue. There's a couple of them, a few of them. But don't, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but don't waver from that to buy just a growth stock, because that's kind of defeating the purpose of the income portfolio.
Case, and I'm in the car now working, so I don't have access to all my data.
Sure.
But just for example, one would be like a growth in income, but it'd be a small cap. I'm going to say a REIT. It might not be a REIT, but it's one of the ones that's like over 7%, so I'm sure it's probably a REIT. So it doesn't, it's not blue, it's not yellow, but it is, you know, high yield income producing, and you have it marked, I believe, as growth in income. So I'm just concerned that it was that a mistake to put that in the portfolio. Now, it's only one, you know, one position out of 22.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking about here.
No, it's okay. You have it there now, but it's not one that I consider for the income portfolio. That's why it's not blue. Number one, because it's very volatile. It could do anything. And I don't feel a great conviction that their income is going to stay steady, is going to continue to produce at that high level. And remember, when they're producing at that high level, they're usually somewhat of a credit risk. They don't have good financials. There's a reason why they pay that kind of income. And that's not, so I'm not wanting that kind of risk in somebody's income portfolio. And just to give you a reason why is, you know, I consider, and this is not always the case, I know that, but I consider somebody that's only in it for income is somebody that's retired, maybe somebody that is not only retired, but could be well up into their retirement years. And I don't feel I want them to take too much of a risk of loss of principal. So that would be another reason why something like that might not be in there.
All right, well, that's great, and that helps me because I've been working on balancing and selling and buying some things to get things straight, so I need to look at that as a potential sale when the opportunity presents itself. But I'm about 18 months away from retirement, and I've been, like I said, I've been working on building it for 2 years, and I just wanted to encourage people, the first $500 of income was easy to produce. The next 500 was a little bit harder, because naturally you go through the blue and pick the good ones, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So to generate the, you know, and based on the amount of money I'm going to invest, you know, obviously it depends on how much you're going to invest. But anyway, it's been a great big help, and a couple of my co-workers are also partners, and they're the ones who told me about it. So
great.
We all appreciate your work, and we'll keep praying for your ministry.
Thank you. Please do.
Okay, yep. Thank you, Dan.
All right, God bless. Thank you for your support. Yeah, you know, and remember, folks, on the income portfolio, you can add to the positions you already have, you know, because obviously once you get it filled out, you can go back through again and be adding to some of those positions, and there will be new opportunities, of course, that come along. So you can get a second 500, as Nelson was saying, by just doubling up on the positions you already have, you get another 500. So you can do that. I mean, I obviously I want to maintain diversification when you can, but when you can't, then it's just, you know, it's okay. Do what you got to do. All right, let me go to Eric. Eric's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Dan. How are you today?
Good.
Quick question on ETF number 2. Will we be paid? I'm in the income portfolio, but would we be paid dividends on a regular basis, or what's going to happen with that?
The way I understand, they're paying it out monthly.
Okay, great. That's
what they're shooting for. That's what I've, last year when this was all coming about, that's what I asked for, requested, and from what I understand, that's how they're going to pay it. It could go to 4 times a year. But that's what I understand right now.
Terrific. Appreciate your help.
Thank okay. You. You're welcome. Thank you, Eric.
Bye.
Oh, God bless. Thanks. Let me go to Jonathan. Jonathan calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you taking my call, Dan.
Sure.
listen, I've got a question. I'm a federal employee. I work for the Department of the Army, so I've got the thrift savings plan.
Gotcha.
And I've got about right now I'm sitting right at just shy of about 40. And I'm equally invested in the F fund, the C fund, and the S fund.
Okay.
I pulled, several years ago, I had, some money when the overseas markets were doing good. I did really good in the I fund, but in the last few years, I pulled that money back and spread it across, the other three funds. But my question is, I'm wanting to kind of diversify, not my TSP, but I'm wanting to do some investing kind of on my own, maybe start my, an outside IRA, and I'm looking at some different companies. And the one company in particular that I've just got a question about if the investment would be an ethical investment because of everything they're involved in. I'm not sure if I want to mention the company's name. I think it's there in front of you. But
yes.
But that's my thing as a not only as a Christian, but also I'm a licensed minister as well. And of course, we talk about these things at work, at church, this, that, and the other. And I don't want to be, all about the money, but in the case of investment, well, that's what you invest for, is to make money.
Yes.
But I definitely want to make sure that I'm doing something that's ethical. And this particular company, over just the last couple of months, their stock has really done well.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at doing some side investment, and I'm talking, $3,000 to $5,000, just kind of small stuff, and just kind of dabble and see, what it does. And it's something that's separate from my company retirement, so it's not going to really affect my long-term future. This is just something I want to kind of dabble with on the side. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, so, the company is having a good year, obviously. It is a company that I watch, but is not on my list yet. I'm through five quarters. I need to get through one more quarter. But, it's always had a pretty good track record because of their consumer side of things. So, there are companies, it is biblically responsible, by the way. Yes, they have a product that is getting used for some things that we wouldn't consider maybe ethical, right, biblical, or whatever, however we want to frame it. I used to tell people many, many years ago, that I know that somewhere there's a light bulb, a General Electric light bulb in an abortion clinic somewhere. I mean, I'm sure of that. I didn't know where or how, but I'm sure that happened. This was back when General Electric was on my buy list. It isn't anymore. And so it is, but they're not about the business of supplying light bulbs for abortion. It's not what they do, you know what I mean? So they're not, it's not their primary source of business, but they have a product, in this case, a light bulb, a consumer need that is getting, is getting used through, all kinds of ways. And the company you're talking about is has both consumer products, and those consumer products also, they engage in the same kind of chemicals that are used on an industrial way. And so, I don't think that, but it is not the main source. I wouldn't say that it's not even a small, it's a fraction of one percentage point probably of their, of their money making, but they don't even know it. I mean, this isn't a market that they haven't built their product around doing something that we would consider unbiblically. They're not doing that. And we find this across the board in so many of these. So at some point, we've got to take a look at how the company profits. This company profits by making a great chemical, a great product.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Jonathan, I hope you're still listening. Sorry about that. I don't know what I said your name was, but it wasn't Jonathan, and I apologize for that. During the break, I just took a look at that company, and I took a look at it from both sides. I see what's hesitating me from adding to the broad list. I haven't evaluated it yet. I haven't seen first quarter of this year's total numbers, so I'm waiting for that. But financials look terrible. They're not the greatest financials, but it's a good solid company. It is a small cap company. They have an okay track record of performance. But anyway, looking at it on the surface, and I mean this is very much on the surface, this would be a buy. I mean, this would be a company. I wish their valuation was a little bit better, but then again, it's not bad. It's not horrible by any stretch of the imagination, particularly for a small cap company. And they pay a decent dividend, 2.5% yield, and that's great for a small cap company as well. So, anyway, good company. It's a solid company, one that you'd want to keep for the long term. That's for sure. It's probably always going to perform okay. So, sorry about that. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I love to listen to your show. I recommend you to all my friends.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
One of the things I'm concerned about is I'm retired.
Uh-huh.
I've been a home builder most of my life, so I have a cash reserve plus some investments. And some of my cash reserve, I don't need that much in the bank. And the particular bank I bank at, I don't think is biblically responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of banks out there that offer, you know, just for a savings account, like 2.5%.
Right.
But I don't want to, you know, jump ship on some of my money. And I'm talking a couple hundred thousand dollars, you know, in this
right.
cash reserve.
Right.
That I don't want to put into a bank that is not biblically responsible.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. First thing I would tell you to look at is Christian Community Credit Union, solid credit union. They have a money market account that is very, very good. Their CD rates are very, very good. I know a lot of small businesses that are doing, besides us, doing their operation, all their day-to-day activities through them. It's a great organization. If you need a local branch for one reason or another, they have one because they're like all credit unions. They're part of the co-op of credit unions. So you can go into any credit unions and make a deposit and do whatever you need to do. But I haven't been in a bank in years, so I can't even relate to that. I do everything electronically, but,
do that either. It's just money that sits there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would talk to them from a banking perspective. If it's money you want to keep, I mean, as cash, if you want to keep this money as a strong cash reserve, is that what you're doing? Is that what you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking a cash reserve. Yeah. I have probably too much in my cash reserve.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of taking maybe half of it and putting it somewhere that can just
do a little better.
You know, do a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, so the other option would be you go into one of the a money market account that's affiliated with a mutual fund company that's biblically responsible, or short-term government bond fund, like a Ginnie Mae fund, Vanguard Ginnie Mae fund. It would be biblically responsible, probably gets yields over 2%, 2.25%, 2.5%. But there could be some volatility, so it could go down a little bit. It's going to go up a little bit. It's never going to go up a lot. It's never going to go down a lot. But, it could vary a little bit. Once you're in that for a long time, you probably get away from all of that. But it's what I use for my cash reserves. I mean, that's one place you could go, but it does come with a little bit of volatility. The other thing you could do is just, you know, you would have to look at something more risky that is going to have opportunities.
Investment.
Yeah, more of an investment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's not probably something you want to do with that.
I have some cash reserve in case I might want to go build another house or something. I have some cash. I know that sounds like crazy, but that's what I do.
No, I totally get it, especially when you're in a volatile industry and your opportunities come, you know, maybe quickly and maybe they're not around that long. I think it's fine, but I would look at Christian Community Credit Union. I think they've got some great money market accounts that are paying CD rates, good CD rates, over 2%. That might be a great place to park most of that.
They have a web presence, right?
Yeah, they do. And they do everything electronically. You do everything electronically for them or in-house. But it's I don't even know. I mean, to get to their website, you can go through our website at financialissues.org. You can click on the CCCU banner, wherever it is. I'm terrible. I don't know any of that stuff. But or I can give you their phone number. But they have, they do a great job. I love what they do. I love what they stand for. They've been around 60 years. They're one of the largest credit unions in the country. They do a fantastic job.
So, I'll definitely look into it. I appreciate it, Dan.
It's Christian Community Credit Union.
Okay. I wrote it down. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Mark.
Have a good afternoon.
Yeah,
bye.
You too. Let me go to Dave. Dave's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dan. I've been a partner for a couple of years now. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Appreciate your ministry. I have a quick question for you. My wife is set to retire here in a couple of months, and as part of her retirement package, she's going to have a $25,000 lump sum payment available. Mm-hmm. My question is, do you have any suggestions or advice as to what I should do with this? Can I roll this into an IRA?
Yes, you would want to roll it into an IRA for sure. Maybe an IRA that she already has, or open one up, because you don't want to pay tax on the whole $25,000 at once. So the way you would avoid that is roll it into a traditional IRA, and then you can start moving it out gradually over the next several years if you want to get it out of an IRA. But that's what you would do with it. And it can be at a brokerage account so that you can invest it inside of it. You know, maybe you can put some individual stocks or whatever you want to do with it, or it doesn't have to be. It could be at a bank if you want. But, yeah, you definitely want to roll it into an IRA account.
And that I would need a broker to do?
No, you wouldn't need a broker. You could just, you would need a broker to open up a brokerage IRA account. Yeah. So if you don't have one, you would have to go to a TD Ameritrade or Schwab and E-Trade or somewhere and open it up an account, an IRA account, she in her name, of course. And then they would process that. They would help you with that rollover, whatever you got to do. It wouldn't cost you anything. And then once you get there, it sits in a money market account, not IRA account, so you invest it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dave. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let me go to Corey in Texas. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey. How you doing? Or hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
Hey, question about my 401k. So my company uses Fidelity.
Uh-huh.
And I checked with them to see if they do the Timothy plan as an option, a mutual fund option, and I guess my company does not offer that.
Okay.
So what I've been doing is just the 5% match that my company does, but I've been having to go to a money market account because I didn't know what's your thoughts on investing that money that's in that 401k since I can't use a company like Timothy or...
Well, I would, since it's with Fidelity, Fidelity has an agreement, and I've had a lot of people call me and say it works really well, that has called Fidelity Direct, and Fidelity has added it onto the menu for you. So you might be able to get, like, those Timothy ETFs just added in just for you, and you can make that deposit on it. That would be the best-case scenario. Aside from that, I would go to Fidelity by yourself, since you already have something with them, I would go there and open up a Roth IRA account in this case, and I would, use that and start making contributions, maybe have it directly come out of your checking account on a regular basis, and invest anything over and above the match into your Fidelity IRA account that you can now be a little bit more aggressive with and get involved in the stocks and the ETFs and those kinds of things.
Now, when I called Fidelity, they said that they had to check with and see what my company offers, and they confirmed that they do not offer the Timothy plan. So do you recommend I just take the match that they give me and just put it in the money market, or do you?
Well, I don't know what else they have. They might have a government bond fund that would probably do a little better than the money market. And if they do, then I would put it in there.
Okay, good idea. All right, thank you so much.
All
God
right.
bless you. Appreciate all your work, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank you, Corey. All right, folks, sure do appreciate you being with us here for these 2 hours. Hey, listen, we've got a best of coming up here for you for the third hour. Hang in there with us. We've got some great programming. You might have missed some of the interviews with Kelly Shackelford. Is that on, Ian? Okay. But we've got a best of for you lined up here for the next hour. I got to run and catch a plane, and unfortunately couldn't get a flight any later. So I hope you enjoy that. Stay with us. Folks, we sure appreciate all that you do for us. We are so grateful for the support and the prayers that you give this ministry. Keep praying, and let's be found a good and faithful steward of all that God's given you. Have a great day. God bless.